Daf is Daf Ein Dalet. So we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Pesachim Ketzat Solon. So today's Daf is a very technical Daf of how exactly to roast the Karban Pesach and related to removing dam when you roast things and salt things. So the mission of the parak begins Ketzat Solon is a Pesach. How exactly does one roast Pesach? We know there's a mitzvah to eat the Pesach, but the way you have to learn the Pesukim that there's a mitzvah to roast it, there's a requirement to roast it. You can't cook it. Bishul be asur. Now, the typical definition of bishul is anything cooked in water or liquid that's bishul. Bishul does not work. You have to do tzli, you have to roast it. So the Mishnah explains, Ketzat Solon is the Pesach. How does one exactly roast the Karban Pesach? So the Mishnah begins, you use a mevin shapa d'shel rimon. You have to use a skewer or a stick, a branch of a rimon, of a pomegranate tree, and that's what's used. And we'll explain why that why that's the only way, that the only wood that could be used. The toch vol toch biv, you stick the shapud, the branch of the rimon, into the mouth of the shechted Karban Pesach. There's no head anymore, so where the head would have been, ad beis nekuvoso, until the other end of the sheep. Venosin es krav es bnei me'av l'tocha. Then you take the legs and all the insides, and you stuff it inside in the, you know, the headless sheep. Now you stick it all inside. That's all divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili. That's how you have to roast the entire Karban Pesach together. Comes along Rabbi Kiva, he says, Omer kimin bishul huzu. That's bishul, because once you put things on the inside, now they're cooking within its own juice or within its own liquid. That's called bishul. That's not going to work. And the tolen chutzlo, you let everything just hang roasted onto the on the skewer, and now the legs are hanging, the insides are hanging, but you can't stuff it inside. That would be a violation of a bishul. And then the Mishnah, just look at Rashi. Rashi says, kimin bishul huzeh, shemevashel b'nei me'av b'socho, because the insides are all cooking together that in the own juices, kimin b'socho kader, just like it's inside a pot. That's bishul. We need sli where everything's hanging, everything's outside, and just roasted by the fire. So then the Mishnah says, ein solen es a pesach lo ha shapud v'lo asachla. So, of course, we just said before, you're supposed to use a shapud. So what he means here, Rashi points out, shapud shamatechet. You can't use a metal skewer, because we'll look at Rashi's going to foreshadow what the Gemara is going to say. Rashi writes, lo ala shapud shel barzel. You can't use anything of metal, kidim afarish b'gemara shamatechet, we know how it works when the metal gets hot. One part, the entire stick, the entire skewer is going to get hot. So then, now, the Pesach gets cooked from the metal, not from the fire. So the inside is getting hot. It has to be roasted from fire, not from the shop, not from the metal. So that's why a metal skewer is excluded. And achsachla, Rashi says, is grills. I assume it's some type of grills, like metal grills. That would be very similar. You can't put it on top of metal grills either to hold everything up, because the grills get hot. And as we know, when you put steak on the grills, it gets like the black lines. It's going to be roasted from the metal, not from the fire. So it has to be hung in such a way where it's going to be only exposed to the fire, and only the fire will be roasting it. And then the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Tzadok, Ma'aseh Rabbi Gamliel, Shamar L'Tavi Avdo, Tzei V'Tzala Lanu Es HaPesach Al HaSachla. So Rabbi Gamliel told, Rabbi Tzadok said a Ma'aseh that Rabbi Gamliel told his Eved Tavi to go roast a Karban Pesach on a grill. Okay, we'll see what exactly that means. That seems to be a stira to what we just said in the Mishnah. But what's interesting here is, the Maraschias points out, we can learn from here that they would actually have the Karban Pesach even when there was no Beis HaMikdash, because Rabbi Gamliel lived after the Beis HaMikdash, so you're able to bring a Karban Pesach even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. How is that possible? If you know where the Makom Mizbeach is, you don't need an actual Mizbeach, you need to have the Makom Mizbeach. That's the Raya Maraschias says from here. Rashash says there's no Raya here. They had the practice of perhaps cooking it. There's an Indian of having it roasted in such a way, they would roast it, the Karban Pesach, as a zecher l'mikdash, but not that they'd actually roast it and eat it, they was roasting just as a zecher. And we'll see, we know when we roast the zroah for the Leil Seder, there's discussion how one should do this. So our practice is just to take the zroah, just the arm of the animal to roast it, but there's a concept to roast an animal as a zecher, but he wasn't actually doing it l'shem Karban Pesach. Now, in terms of how to roast the Zerah properly, the Kobo says you should dafka use it on a shapud sharimon or fire. You should not use a metal skewer, because it's supposed to be the zecha, the Zerah, should be the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you take a metal skewer, a shapud, it's going to be not how it was done in the Mizbeach. You should use a wooden rimon. He says, now, practically, who has a rimon in the backyard to just collect all the shapud sharimons? If you could do that, great. If you can't, he says, it's bid the Eved. You could put it on top of coals and have it roast the Zerah on the coals as a zecha, because apparently bid the Eved b'dieved, as we'll see, putting it on the coals b'dieved works as well for tliyesh. Ideally, it should be hung in such a way where only it's by a wood of rimon, and then the fire gets it. But if you can, you can put it directly on coals. That's how he says one could really set up the coal bowl. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein was quoted as saying, the way we do it nowadays, I know growing up in my house, you put on like the gas fire on top and like a little aluminum foil, then it roasted that way. That's not the right way it should be done. That's not in any way at all the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So what they suggest is, I only learned this just now, that you take off some of the meat and hold it in the air and put it in the fire, not in the aluminum foil, but hold it in the fire so there's some level of tzli there to accomplish what's going on. But unless you want to start selling like pomegranate branches, which would be the best way to do that, but put it directly in the fire. So then some poskim say, however, the fire that you have to use really should be of wood, not of gas. And the Rambam writes, you have to have dafke eish shel eitzim, not eish shel gas, so whatever the gas would be back then. So even on top of the stovetop wouldn't necessarily work according to many of the poskim. So what you should do, now we'll see if you remember this in 2 months from now, myself included, but to take this row out, put your fireplace on, let's say, and then put the zohar in and roast it that way. That would be the ideal way of accomplishing the zeich l'mikdash. Something interesting to try to keep in mind. Okay. So, pomegranate. If you get that, that's even better. But I don't think they have any around here in this area. Okay. So the Gemara begins as follows. So the Gemara says that nisei shematecha, so why are we using this pomegranate branch? Why not use a metal branch or a metal skewer? So aidi decham miktasa, like we saw in Rashi, cham kulo. Because if a little bit of the metal gets hot, we know it's going to transmit the heat through the entire skewer. And then the inside of the Pesach is now going to be cooked from the metal, not from the fire. That will not accomplish what's required of Tzliyesh. So the Gemara then says, again, Aydi d'cham miksasa cham mikulo, v'kemetave means to roast in Aramaic, machmas ha-shapud, rachman amar Tzliyesh, v'lo Tzli machmas davar achas. So that's why Matechas doesn't work. The Gemara suggests, why dafka a rimon branch? Why not v'nisi shel dekel? Why not a date tree? So the Gemara explains, I did the isle shive, there's some grooves in the date tree branches. Mapik maya, there's water that's inside, there's moisture inside the branch that's going to come out. V'avik mavushal, that's going to be similar to cooking the Karan Pesach in water. You want it to be completely dry. So the Gemara suggests, what about v'nesei shel te'ena, use the fig trees? I remember when I went to Eretz Yisrael last Sukkos, we were making goat cheese, we milked goats, and then we were able to turn into cheese. You use the fig branches, you crack it. Apparently there's some enzymes, you mix it together, it turns into cheese in just a few moments. So they're suggesting use fig branches to cook and to roast the Karan Pesach. So the Gemara says, I did the mechalchel mapik maya. There's some type of moach, Rashi says, some type of like... not marrow, but whatever, something in the inside of the branches of the fig tree, which is able to generate water. So since it has Aydi de Mechalchal, Mapik Maya, Vahavale Kimavush, it's going to bring out the water, that will be Bishel, not Tzli. So the Gemara suggests maybe it should be Naisi Shel Alon Shel Charev, Shel Shikma, these types of branches. So Gemara explained, Aydi de Isbe Kitre, they have some knots, some like little bubbles or whatever, balls along the branch, it's not a smooth branch. So the Gemara explains, then Mapig Maya Shel Rima, Mapig Maya. So Rashi explains here, in order to put the sheep on these branches of the trees we just suggested, you have to shave them down. If it's bumpy, it's not going to work. So you have to shave out these knots, if you will. When you shave them down, there's going to be some cracks now in the wood because you just cut off some of these bumps. So now those cracks are there and exposed. What is going to come out when you're cooking it using these types of branches? So that's why we have to use the rimon. So Gemara says, wait a second. Shel rimon nami isbe kitre. Apparently the pomegranate branches also have little knots in them. So Gemara explained that since they have kitre shei kitre, these knots apparently are smoother than the knots or the I don't know what to call them in Hebrew, in English rather, but these little bumps in the branch are much smoother by the rimon than the other branches, in which case you don't actually have to cut them off. You can leave them there and it will still be fine. So since there are no cracks, there's no moach, there are no bubbles that have to be removed, therefore you could use the branch as is and there's no chashash of any water coming out. That's why we say only rimon works. Ebay's Ema, alternatively, the Gemara explains, Benavga Barshasa, a very young pomegranate tree, whereby the Lesbe Kriti, where you haven't had these knots on the branches developed yet, it's underdeveloped, it's a smaller tree, and therefore those are branches are very, very smooth. Gemara explains, but still there's a kashu using the Shapat Sharimon, the Ha'ika Be Pascha, the Mapikle Be Pascha. So you're not using the branch whole, you have to cut it off, right? If they remove it from the tree. That means where you cut off the branch from the tree, that's going to be exposed, it's a cut. Won't water come out from that area, that part of the branch? And the Gemara says, "Demapik lebe pascha labar." You take the branch, you make sure it's outside the sheep. So when you start, you have a long branch here. Make sure you only stick the part that's not cut into the sheep. The part that's exposed, leave it far away from the sheep. And this way, the water won't come out and be mevashel the tzli. And that's the way to roast the Karan Pesach properly. So The Gemara just points out here, Masnis in our Mishnah is Delo Ki Rebbe Yehuda. The Tani Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Kishem Sheshapet Shal Eitz, Eino Nisraf, Kach Shapet Shal Matechas, Eino Martiach. He felt one is actually allowed to use a metal skewer, because just like the heat does not transmit through the wood, so too he felt that the heat does not transmit through the metal. Well, we know practically it does. How do you say it doesn't? So Rashi gives some type of explanation. Rashi says, Kishem Sheshapet Shal Eitz, Kishetolin Oso Betanur, Umechusa Betle. You use a wooden skewer, and you cover it, now it's completely enveloped by a sheep. Eid Mashu Besoch Atle Nisraf, that which is inside apparently won't cook. Shetle Magin Alav, somehow the sheep protects it, prevents the wood from inside getting too hot. So he felt, Kach Shapud Shal Matechas, if you have a metal skewer, Eid Mashu Besoch Atle Martiach Machmas Chom Miktaso Ayote Chutz Atle. He felt somehow the heat would not transmit through the inside, so I'm not sure scientifically how to explain that, but that's from Yehuda, which is against the Mishnah, and the Braisa says that the Tanakhama, the Chachamim respond back, Amrulo, Zecham Miksaso Cham Kulo, Zecham Miksaso Ein Cham Kulo. You can't compare the two cases. Even though Ein Chanami, the inside of the wood skewer and the metal skewer are both covered by the sheep, but the metal has the ability to transmit the heat to the inside, while wood does not have that quality, and it won't transmit the heat to the inside, and that's the difference. So now the Gemara points out from our Mishnah, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Galili, and Rabbi Kiva, how you hang this the sheep. Do you take the legs and innards and put it inside? That was Rabbi Yosi and Galili. Or do you let everything just hang out and roast as is? That's Rabbi Kiva. So Gemara points out that this is a machlokas in the Brice as well. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Kareu Toch Toch. He would refer to the roasting of the Karban Pesach as Toch Toch. And Rashi explains because you put everything on the inside like Rabbi Yosef Lili, and also since it kind of boiled, it would have this Toch Toch sound. It would make some boiling sound to it. That's like Shita's Rabbi Yosef Lili. And Rabbi Tarfon, who like Rabbi Kiva, who's usually his Bar Pluksa, Rabbi Tarfon, Kareu Gedi Mekulos. He would refer to it as Mekulos. Why Mekulos? Rashi says Mekulos means like a hat or a helmet, the way you'd somehow, you'd put it over, but you wouldn't stick it inside of it. So that's more like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said you have, let everything hang. Rabbi Tarfon says you put everything on top, but you don't stuff it inside the animal. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says here, Mekulos, last two narrow lines, Lashon Kova, Nechoshe, some type of metal helmet, Dimitar Megaminan, Kulsa, Nechoshesa, Visvira, Le Tolin, Lemala, Barosha. You hang it lower, Venirin, Kikova, Nechosha, Rosha, Gibra. I was wrong, actually. You don't take it and put it on top. You let it hang, but somehow it gives the appearance of a helmet. I guess the body is covering the legs, and that's his understanding of Rabbi Tarfon, alongside with Rabbi Akiva. Oh, you're right. I'm saying you're right. The Tolan Lamala Berosha, you're right. You hang it Lamala Berosha on top. So you do hang it over, but you don't stuff it inside. Yeah. So the Gemara then says, Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us. Ezu Gedi Mekulos, what's called a Gedi Mekulos, the Asur Lechol B'Leil Pesach, B'Zman Hazeh. Now, even though we said you have to do some type of zecher of the roasting of the Karban Pesach, you cannot roast an entire Karban Pesach, Leil Seder Bezman Hazeh, because that's going to be too similar to the Karban Pesach. So we're trying to find, somehow we want to be medamet to the Karban Pesach, but not exactly like the Karban Pesach. So you can't do a Gedi Mekulos on a Leil Seder. So what is a Gedi Mekulos? That's Aser on Leil Seder Bezman Hazeh. So the Gemara explains, Kol Shetzalo Kulo Ke'echad, if you roast the Karban Pesach, or sheep rather, its entire body all together, that's what's called the Gedi Mekulos, which is Aser, on a Leil Pesach Bizman Hazeh. So the Gemara explains, however, Nechtach Mimenu Ever, if you cut off a leg, or Nishlach Mimenu Ever, and the Havamin Rashi says here is, or you cut off a leg and you also boil it, so that's Ein Zeh Gedi Mekulos, that's not called a whole Gedi, that's allowed. So Gemara points out, Hashta Yishlomar Nechtach Mimenu Ever. If you cut off an Ever and then cook it, Avagav Dilukam Makapti, even though after you cut off the leg, you put it back in and roast it together, so Amr Slo, it doesn't work. Nishak Mibai, do you have to tell me when you cut off a leg and you cook it separately, you boil it separately, that's also not Mekulos? That's obvious. If cutting it and then putting it back together is not Mekulos, certainly cutting it and boiling it separately is certainly not Mekulos either. So Gemara says, no. Amrav Sheshes, Sheshalku B'mechubar. There are two different cases here. When you leave the leg in there, but you actually boil a leg while attached to the sheep. So imagine you take the dead sheep, you take its leg and put it in the water, and you boil the leg, you take it out, then you roast it. That's also not Mekulos. One would have thought maybe since it's all attached together, it would still be Mekulos. The Gemara says since the leg had been cooked separately in the water, and the rest had been roasted, that's actually not Mekulos, and that would be acceptable. Kal v'chomer, if you cut off a leg, and then you put it back in, that would also be not considered Mekulos. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to dedicate the rest of the Amud and the rest of Amud Beis to various halachas of removing, extracting blood from meat. We know the basic halacha is that you shech meat, you have to salt it. And when you salt it, you remove all the blood, and then you could be mevashalim. If you roast something, however, you don't actually have to salt it, or you don't have to salt it as well, because when you roast something and you hang it, all the blood just drips out on its own. That's a way to avoid having to do melicha. So the Gemara explains now, Amar Rabba, last six lines of Amar Alfi. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Mulyasa Sharia. What's Mulyasa? Mulyasa is where you take meat and you stuff it inside other meat. And neither one of the meats were salted, but you're roasting it now. Now there's a chashash that the outside meat is fine, that's going to roast and all the blood's going to drip. But the meat that's on the inside, even though blood might come out, it's going to go into the outer meat. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hai Mulyasa, which he calls in Paldura Belaz, Kemosh Anu Mimalan Hatlam, that we stuff our sheep, Vartanagom, and our chicken, Bain Basil Atzamos. You stuff it with other meat. So you're stuffing, instead of using stuffing, whatever is used for stuffing, you use meat to stuff the meat. So now, Shari, that's permitted, Afilo Bishlu. Now they point out it really should be Afilo Milchu, it should be not salted. Afilo Milchu, even though it wasn't salted, it's a basar, Shinosin Latochi, even though you take meat and you didn't salt it and you put it inside the sheep, that's mutter. Even if you salted it just a little bit, which is much less for tzli, if you salted the meat like kokodeo, like you have to do for regular cooking, pshita, of course that works. So the case is where you have meat that was a little bit salted, if at all, you put inside a sheep. So if there's no real salting going under, and you roast it all together, that's permitted. Why is that permitted? So Gemara explains here, Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, v'haka bala dama. Doesn't the sheep, which now has the blood-infested meat inside, isn't that going to absorb the blood from the meat on the inside? So the Gemara explains, Amalei kibolo kach polto. There's a big klal in Hilchas Kashrus that just like it absorbs, it also extracts. In other words, when the animal or the meat is cooking and roasting, the blood from the inside meat is going to leave and go to the outside sheep. But now that's going to also extract the blood to the outside and fall into the grill, and that's the way of avoiding any blood. So it's going to go through two steps here, kibolo, as it absorbs. It's also going to pull it. It's going to also extract the blood, and that's why it's allowed. So kibolo, kach polto. So now there's a tosi. I don't want to get too involved in melicha, but Tosis does point out here, even though Rashi said that you salted it a little bit, Tosis says even if you didn't salt it at all, this halacha would still be the case. And that's a larger discussion about salting when it comes to roasting. So the Gemara now says, they name a Masaili, last four lines here of Amud Alfir. Let's suggest that the following is a support for what we just said of Kibola Kachpolta. So name a Masaili, Nosin es Krav, our Mishnah, Nosin es Krav as B'nei Me'av L'tocha, that you're allowed to, according to Biosi Glili, take the legs, take the insides, and stuff it inside the sheep now. But that wasn't salted, right? You're taking a raw piece of a sheep, parts of the sheep, and stuff it inside. So my time, why is that allowed? La mishum daminan kibolo kachpolto. So when the legs, which have blood in it, it extracts the blood to the outer part of the sheep, and the sheep takes the blood and extracts it to the grill in the bottom, is that not the same thing as kibolo kachpolto? That's why our mish is allowed here, and there is no issue of salting it. Gemara says, no. Our mission is a completely different case. You cannot use our mission as a model for this general klal. Why? Because shiny hasan by our mission is different. Came in dika beis hashchita de michalchel. Our beis hashchita is exposed. The head's completely cut off. There's a huge hole where the blood's going to come pouring out of. So that can't be a raya for when you take a chicken, you stuff it and close it tightly, you sew it tight, and there's meat inside. There's no way for it to come out. It only comes through the walls of the actual chicken. But in our case, the head is completely exposed. The blood's going to be coming out that way, so it's not a raya for the general klal of kibolo kachpolto. Again, shiny hasan, in that case, there is different. Our mission is different. Kevindika beis hashchita, the head where it was cut off, the mechalcha where it's exposed, midiv daivi, the blood's going to come pouring out. Rashi says on the top of ayin dal amud beis here, midiv daivi lefisha kishenitla betaner, when you hang the sheep, the dead sheep for the karm pesach in the oven, upi beis hashchita lamata, and the hole of the beis hashchita is downwards, hadam yoti derecha chalal hatzavar, and you let the blood just drip out. That's why it's allowed. But to use that as a raya, that when you stuff meat and chicken and you sew the chicken tight and blood's going to be removed, that is no raya, because maybe our case of the mission is different than this case of the stuffed chicken. So then the Gemara says, maybe the following could be a raya of kibolo kachpoto. Name a Messiah, top line of Amud Beis here. Halev koreo umotis damo. If you want to eat heart, you should take the heart, you cut it, you rip it apart, and you remove the blood. Koro umotis damo. And if not, if a person didn't rip it, lo karo, Karol achar bishulo, you cooked it first without tearing it. You could cook it and then tear it after the fact. That's also mutter. So obviously the heart has a lot of blood in it. You need to extract the blood. So the first thing is to tear the blood, the heart open, let the blood pour out, and then you could cook it. But if you cooked it first, you could still actually rip open the heart. The blood's going to still come pouring out. That'll be fine. So Gemara says, why is that allowed? La mishum. Now, by the way, when you say bishul here, it refers to tzli, because you can't cook something without salting it first. So Rashi points out here, lachar bishulo, lachar bishulo tzli kama. We're talking about roasting the heart. The tzli na mikar bishul. We have examples where tzli is also called bishul. So even though the Gemara says bishul by the heart, it has to mean tzli. So you roasted a heart, and you don't need to really salt things that get roasted, but there's still blood that's inside the heart. They know that's in the pocket of the heart. So when you're done, you rip it open, and the blood comes pouring out. But the actual flesh of the heart, if you will, that all the blood had already been removed, so that's allowed. So Gemara said, my time, and why is that allowed? La mishum damrinan kibolo kachboto. But wasn't there blood inside the heart in the first place? That was like in the pocket? Isn't that the same thing as meat inside the stuffed chicken? You have blood, not blood in the skin of the heart, if you will, but blood in that's inside the heart. So doesn't that go, how does that get out? Must be it goes to the heart, and then it gets exposed afterwards. It goes kibolo kachboto. Just like the meat goes from the blood of the meat to the chicken and goes outside, the blood goes to the heart, and then outside, kibolo kachboto. Gemara says, no, not true at all. The heart is completely different. The heart, Gemara says, shiny lev dishi. She means that it's smooth. When something is so smooth, there are no cracks or holes, blood can't get into it. It's like what the Gemara calls like glass. Glass is shi, where nothing gets inside of glass. Mikra din, glass can't become trape because nothing can penetrate the walls. The way the heart is, the consistency or the texture of the heart is in such a way where there are no holes or cracks. That's why blood remains in the heart. It's completely solid and nothing can penetrate. So even though you cooked it in such a way, the blood that stayed inside the heart, never went through the walls. And when you rip it open, the blood comes pouring out, but the actual heart remains completely solid because nothing could penetrate the walls into the heart. Now, there is an interesting machlokas between the Tosas and the Rajba. Is this true by other means or only by dam? Tosas points out here, if you look at top Tosas here, shiny lev deshi, nira de kol shikain de mebechutsu yosashi, fine, the outside's even more smooth. Venira liriva, the dafka lagave dam de samich amina deshi. Only by blood, which is a little bit thicker, we say that nothing can penetrate the walls of hearts. About le'inin shamnunis the isur, if its heart is cooked, let's say, with some fats of a tray for a nevela, lo mfapeya, there the oil gets liquidy and can actually pass through the walls of the heart. The Rajba argues, Rajba says, no, we say le'vishi legavi all types of dinim, all types of isurim. So if you were to cook a heart in some shamnunis the isura, the Rajba would say it's allowed because we have this cloud that le'vishia, the walls, nothing can penetrate the walls, bein dam, bein shamnunis, it's allowed. Well, Tosas felt that no, this is only legabe leib, but legabe shamnunis the isura, that actually would penetrate the walls of the heart and would make it asr. Either way, the Gemara says there is an araya from a heart that kibol kachbota because the heart is different because the walls are very thick and strong and nothing could pass through. So Gemara then says, v'ha rabin saba, the elder rabin, tafle hahu bar gazla, the rav, he did tafla, well, explain tafla means in just a second, and he presented this chicken, he gave it to Rav. So one pshat here is Tosas says, it refers to Rashi, you put it into like a little, a pastry of meat inside, and then Tosas argues and says that's not what it is. Tafla means you put some breading on it. Not a pastry, but there's breading on it. So machlokas, Rashi tells us whether it means a pastry of some sort or a breading. So either way, Rabin prepared this breaded chicken and gave it to Rav. He says to them, imala tafle, if it tastes good, the tafle, the breading, if the breading tastes good, because it has some of the flavors of the chicken, hopefully give me veicha, I want to eat some of it. So why is that allowed? Aren't we concerned that the blood of the chicken, we're assuming it wasn't salted, so now isn't the blood of the chicken going to now penetrate into the breading? And now he's eating the breading with the flavors of the chicken and also blood in it. So Gemara says, no, hahu bismida de mifari. He's talking about a certain type of flour that was used that does not stick well, and the blood just passes right through it. All right, so therefore, there's no concern. Any blood that may have been in the chicken is going to go right through the breading. The breading is not strong enough. The Gemara says, "V'ha Rava ikle the Bei Reish Galusa," but didn't Rava once visit the house of Reish Galusa? The Tafle lay bar Avza, and they gave him a breaded goose. Amar, he says, "Ilo de chazise de zig kezuza chivara lo achlimene." If it's not as white, if the breading does not stay as white and clean, I won't eat it. In other words, if it's red, I will not eat it because it's blood. If it's white, I will eat it. So why is he concerned here? V'isagadaitach kibolo kachboto. My yirya, if it's true that any blood that gets to the breading will then pass through and get extracted, so who cares whether it's white or red? My yirya kizag, why if, only if it's clear and white? Afil kilozag, even if it's not white, even if it's red, don't we assume that blood went to the breading and then came pouring out? Just like we said above, that the breading won't hold any of the blood, here too as well. Why the breading? Why won't he eat any of the breading in the case of the Reish Galus's house? And Gemara says there are different types of breadings. Gemara says, Hasam b'chivarasa d'shari. That's like a white type of flour, which is a much stronger, and therefore blood cannot penetrate through the breading. So if it's a softer breading, a flour that the blood will pour through, you could have that breading, but if it's a stronger type of breading that the blood cannot penetrate, that would be usher. So those are the two different cases. So Gemara that says, Hilchos, bottom line, how do we pass the gabi the breading? Gemara says, the smidi, if it's going to be a smidi, which is the first type where it's a very weak type of flour, so bein asmik, whether it's red, bein lo asmik, whether it's not red, you could have shari, it's permitted, because there, the blood's going to go right through the breading and not stay in the breading. If it's the chivarasa, if it's the white bread, which is stronger type of breading, a stronger flour, then izag, kizuza, chivara, shari. If it's clear, which means that no blood passed through it, then it's allowed. Ilo, if it's not clear, it's red, then aser would be aser. And the shark kamachim, any other type of flour that might be used, if it's asmik, if it's aser, if it's red, it's aser. Lo asmik, if it's not red, it would be shari. That's permitted. So that's when it comes to the different types of breading. So now the Gemara says, in terms of halach lamaisa, we mentioned before this mulyasa, that chicken stuffed with other meat. So how do we pass on the gabri that halacha? So Gemara says, hi, mulyasa, man de aser, the one who said it's aser, to have the meat that's inside the chicken that wasn't assaulted, afil pumala le tachas. Even if you take the animal and you put it upside down with the holes in the bottom, even that would be aser. And the one who holds the manda, manda shari, the one who permits the meat that's inside the chicken, that's permitted afilu puma la'il, even if the head is upwards, where the blood isn't pouring out, where the opening is on the up, that's also allowed. The reason being is because kibola kachpota, because if the blood goes through the chicken, and the chicken is going to leave the chicken as well, we don't care. It's not because it goes through the hole, rather because it passes through the skin of kibola kachpota. How do we paskin legabe mulyasa, says the Gemara, hilchasa mulyasa shari afilu puma la'il. We paskin if a person takes meat and stuffs the chicken in it, and he roasts it, even though the hole of the head of the chicken is upwards, we assume it's going to pass right through the skin of the chicken and outside, and there is no need to salt it. Kibolo kachpoto, that would be permitted. Okay, so now we're not done with this topic. The Gemara now has three different types of meats the Gemara wants to address. Umtse, be'e, umizrake. What are these three types of meats? Rashi writes, halfway down Rashi, umsa, be'e, umizrake. Umsa de asmik is just very red meat. Chatichas basar, pieces of cut to meat that are very, very red, that have seemingly blood in them. The chain beite zacher da asmik, beitem, a person's roasting beitem of an animal. And thirdly, the chain mizraki, not eggs, but the beitem of the part of the animal. Then the chain mizraki, chutim megasim, or there's large arteries, shein varidin, shebebeis hashchita, the arteries passing through the neck area. So these three are the topics of conversation now. So Gemara says, umta be'e umizrake, pligi ba rev acha ravina. So there's a machlokes between Rav Achan and Ravina. What was the status of these three cases? So Gemara explains, B'cholatar kula, throughout kolatar kula, we have the klal. Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina is l'kula. V'hochazak Ravina l'kula, we pass like Ravina that he's maker. Lebar mehani klas, with the exception of these three cases, the umsa, the bey umizrake, where Rav Acha is l'kula, and Ravina is l'chumra, hochazak Rav Acha l'kula, we pass like Rav Acha. In other words, we always pass in l'kula. The question is, who's on which side of the fence here? But it's always l'kula. But these are three exceptions where Rav Acha is the one who's mekel, and we pass like Rav Acha in these three cases. So what are the three cases? So Gemara is going to have the same exact structure in three applications. Hai umsa, the asmik, this very red meat that's cut. So the Gemara says, chatcha, if you cut it in many places, umach, and you salt it, afil kadera, shari, after you salt it, you can even cook it in kadera, you could be mevasha, that's permitted. If you salt it properly, there's no issue of having this meat. Shafte, bishapuda, if you roast it without salting it, that's also shari. Medev dar, the blood comes out. I mentioned before, there are two ways to get rid of salt, either through salting or through roasting. So if you take the route of salting it, so then after you salt it, you can even cook it in liquid. If you don't salt it, then you just roast it, and the blood will come pouring out. But what about, this is the machlokas, achte agume, let's say you place the meat, the umsa, directly on coals. What's the din when it's placed directly on coals? Is that like sli, or maybe something different? So Gemara explains, this is the machlokas. Pligi bar Rav Acha Ravina, Rav Acha is one who's mekel, as we said above. Chad aser, that's Ravina was machmir, he says aser to have it in this case. The chad shari, the other one, Rav Acha says permitted. Man de aser, Ravina who says aser, Matzmis Tzamis, he felt, if you place the meat on the coals, then it's going to cause it to extract and close and prevent the blood from actually coming out. That's why it's aser. However, according to Man Deshari, who is Rav Acha, he said, you're allowed to do this. Mishav Shaiv, he felt that no, when you place the meat on the coals, that's going to be the same thing like roasting it in the air, where the blood's going to come pouring out, and that will remove the blood and be permitted. The Hilchas that we pass in Mishav Shaiv, that the blood does come pouring out when you place it directly over the coals. Same exact structure now when it comes to the Chain Bei, so when it comes to the Beitzim of an animal, so Chatchinu, you cut it up, Umachinu, and you roast it, and rather you salt it, that's permitted, even in cooking it bishul in a pot. If you decide to talino bishaputa, you decide to hang it on some type of skewer, then sharin made of dive, that's permitted because the blood comes pouring out. Achtinu agumre, if you place them directly in coals, pligi bar ravacha ravina, chad aser, chad shari, mand aser, matzmis tamis, mand the shari mishav shav, like we just said. And now, third application, and the same exact structure again, the chain mizuke, when it comes to these big arteries in the neck, which are full of blood, of course, chadche, you cut it, malche, afilo kadeir shari, you could cut it, salt it, and then cook it in bishel in a pot, that's permitted, or you could tlia, bishapuda, beishashchita, letata, you could hang it in a sheep, but as long as the beishashchita is facing downwards, shari, midav dav, this way the blood will come pouring out. And the third application, which is the machlokas, achte agumi, place them directly in coals, pligi rabacha, ravina, chad aser, chad shari, man daser, matvis tzamis, it's going to cause it to extract, to solidify, and prevent the blood from leaving, man deshari, mishav shav, the blood's going to come pouring out, hilchasa, mishav shav. So those are three different applications. Let's finish off the Gemara now. Gemara says, hai umsa deasmik chalya, you have red meat, the chalya is aser. What's chalya? So Rashi has two pshatim here. Chalya, one pshat is the meat juices, the mohel of the meat. So those juices, if they're red, we assume it's dam there. And the other opinion is if you put it into vinegar, sometimes after roasting something, you put it in vinegar, the vinegar collects all the blood that's left over after roasting it. So either the vinegar after roasting it or the actual meat juices. So one of those two pshatim. So Gemara says, "Hai umsa de'asmik chalya." This meat, where the chulya, either the vinegar or the juices, are red, that's also you can't drink that. Lo asmik, if it's not red, then chalya shar, then the vinegar or the meat juices is permitted. Ravina Amar afilo lo asmik nami chalya aser. He felt even if the meat juices or vinegar is clear and not red, he still felt it should be aser. Ef shar de lespe sharki de dummy. He felt it was impossible that there are no strips or whatever streaks of blood that are there. You may not notice it, but there's got to be something there. He felt it's aser even when it's clear. So Amarle Mar bar Amemer le Ravashi. He said to Ravashi, Abba, my father, Migame le Gemua. He would actually eat these meat juices. So Ikad Amri, others say that Ravashi Gufe Megami Le Gemue. Some say Ravashi himself would actually eat it, not only his father, but even he himself would actually eat these juices. And Amalei Mar Baramim Amemar Le Ravashi Abba Hai Chulia De Chalit Bei Chadazimno Solo Sulo Tane Chalit Bei. So he felt that once a person used this vinegar, after you roasted the meat, you put it in the vinegar to collect all the blood, he would not use it a second time because once the vinegar was used once, it lost its potency, and you can't use it a second time to extract any leftover blood. So they just wanted to know how that worked exactly. Why would that be any different than if you take the vinegar, I'm not sure, it's some type of vinegar, it's a weak vinegar, it's called chalta matmai. I don't know if there's an English example of this vinegar, but it's a very weak vinegar. The techaltina bay, that works. So how come if you have a very strong vinegar, when it's used once, you can't use it a second time, but when you use a vinegar from the beginning that's very, very weak, that does work, that's in effect, that is effective. So what's the difference of a strong vinegar the second round versus a weak vinegar the first round? That's acceptable. So Gemara says, Hasim, over there by this mechala matma, this very weak vinegar, the reason why it's acceptable is because Isa, liqueur, the pera, still has the little bit of the taste of the fruit, which somehow is the necessary agent there to help extract the blood. That is still liqueur, the pera, be'en. It's still be'en, even though it's weak, but still be'en. Hacha, however, here, once you use the vinegar once, even though it was very strong initially, less of the cue of the pear, it lost the initial flavoring of the fruit, and therefore has some inability to extract any of the leftover blood. Let me just run through this quickly. I know it's a hard daf to run through quickly, but very, very fast. The mission begins. How to roast it, Mechlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, whether you roast it if taking everything inside or let everything hang outside. We said you have to use a shapud of a rimon, you can't use a shapud of metal. And with Maisa of the Rabbi Gamliel telling Tavi Avdo to go roast a Karm Pesach, we had a whole discussion why Dafka using the rimon branch, why not a metal, because Cham Mixos Cham Mekulo, and all the other concerns of the fig branches and whatnot, because there's water inside. Then we quoted the Machlokas, whether you call such a roasting of the Karm Pesach Toch Toch, that's everything stuffed inside, or it's Mekulo, so everything's hanging out or on top of the head like a helmet. And then we discussed what type of a mekulos would be allowed. If you cut off a leg, or if you roast one, or cook one leg separately, that would not be mekulos. That would be acceptable on Leil Seder. And then we discussed when you have meat stuffed inside chicken, why that's allowed at Kibbol Kachpoto. We compare that to the lave. Then we discussed the different types of breading of the chicken, whether it's different types of flours, whether it's red or whether it's white. And then we discussed three examples of the umtsa, the beite, and the mizrake about cooking it, roasting it versus putting on coals, and finally about the vinegar. That was the last discussion we had. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.